Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, how much do you know about medical intuition? What is it? What does it sound like to you? Does it sound medical? Well, maybe it could. I don't know that it should. Well, it's a word that obviously means something, medical. But what does it really mean when it's about intuition and it's not performed by doctors? So are medical intuitives practicing medicine? Well, we wouldn't be allowed to. So what are we practicing? How about healing? How about solutions? How about health, wellness, happiness? Sounds like a good purpose for a medical intuitive, to get to the bottom of things, make it work. And to help talk about how medical intuition works is a medical intuitive who's a very close friend of mine, and we've worked together for years, and I'm very, very excited about her being on the show and bringing her talent to the show. Lisa Denton, welcome, Lisa.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here with you.
Well, I'm glad we can talk about this because a lot of people need help, right?
Yes, all of us need help. I think everybody needs help.
Right. And where do people turn? And how helpful is it? And maybe there's nothing exclusive. Maybe, you know, people shouldn't exclusively avoid experts in anything as long as they are honorable, truthful, know what they're talking about. And
I think so. Yeah. I think that is we all benefit. Personally, I think we all benefit the most from a holistic approach, which is, you know, sometimes if you work on a psycho, emotional, or spiritual level, it helps the physical body. Sometimes if you help the physical body, it helps unblock things so that you're working on other areas. And I think, you know, all we can get a tremendous amount of information and help from all different sources. But yes, integral ones are the best.
Right. And they're not always easy to find.
That's true.
And so, you know, a lot of people bump around, you know, go to different doctors, and most people complain about their doctors who don't have really enough time for them, don't always want to answer their questions, and don't give them the respect that they're looking for. And then they don't know where else to go often, and they don't know what to look for. Maybe a Reiki healer. Some people say, oh, well, I can go for a Reiki healing. And some Reiki healers are very worthy. But is that the only alternative? Or maybe, you know, it's not that the public knows a lot of alternatives, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so where do people turn? And maybe medical intuition is one way to go. And we're willing to take calls today if anybody has a question about medical intuition or about their own circumstances that they'd like to ask about. We'd be happy to plug in our intuition and see what we can do for you and show you how it works. So that number is 888-874-4888. So you're welcome to join us if you have a question. But in the meantime, you know, we're going to talk about what we do because we've also taught medical intuition. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting to see how people learn it, use it, and you know, everybody is different. We're all different. We all have different skills, different intuitive skills, different backgrounds. What we focus on,
mm-hmm.
know, I focus a lot on the body, on anatomy, biomechanics, on so much of physiology that I look at because I want to see how the energy is flowing or not. What's going on in this body that, you know, speaks out and you know, is calling for help? And what kind of help does it need? And, you know, I don't look at it in terms of the way the medical profession looks at it, which is, you know, a label. You know, find a disease, find a drug, or surgery, and that's the answer. Because we know that very often that only leads to other troubles and, you know, side effects of medications and all kinds of many, many problems around the medical world. So, and there are alternative practitioners, who holistic practitioners, who I think are very worthy. There are a lot of good chiropractors and acupuncturists, who, and you might know others.
Well, I, you know, unfortunately, naturopathic physicians can't be licensed in the state of New York, and I'm not really sure why that is, but, you know, our family physician has always been a naturopathic physician, and she's has been brilliant in helping us through the years. But, you know, there are just tremendous alternate resources, and again, I agree with you, a holistic approach and getting all sorts of support is really important, and the insights of an intuitive can be very helpful if sometimes it's hard to find the things that you can find the symptoms, but not necessarily the deeper causes for some of the challenges that we have physically.
Right. So what we're looking at are not dealing with symptoms so much as we're looking at what's there, and, you know, what is it that we might be able to help understand about the person's issue.
Mm-hmm.
We actually have somebody, a caller on the phone, who has a question. Charlene.
Hi, Peter.
Hi, Charlene. Hi. Glad you could call. What would you like to ask?
Well, I recently had Lyme disease and did some holistic treatment for it. And so I just want to know, you know, if you can tell how my body's doing now after that.
Well, when you say after that, you mean after whatever you've done for it?
After my treatments that I've been through.
Right. All right. It still looks like you need more work. Lisa, what are you getting about that?
Yeah, I don't think your system, your immune system, is back up to par yet. I think you're still a little compromised from the Lymes.
So there are a number of different directions to go in. But so much of it has to do with nutrients and, you know, pollution.
You can look on, they make homeopathic Lyme nosodes that are homeopathics that help the entire immune system respond. I'm not sure where you, I mean, I get them from my naturopathic physician, but I know that they're also at least a nice powerful aid, and it looks like your immune system needs a little more help. So that's at least that's one thing for certain. If you can look for it's a homeopathic Lyme nosode.
Nosode.
NOSODE. Yeah, okay. But I don't want to prescribe anything. I'm just recommending.
No.
Because
understood.
I could tell you that's what I would do. That I take them every day, but I certainly am not in a position to prescribe anything. And if you are interested, you can email Peter, and I can give you the name of my naturopathic physician, who is an expert on it. But I can just tell you that your immune system needs some more support. It's still compromised by it. And there are lots of alternative ways you can support the immune system. And just on another psycho-emotional level, that there are some deeper levels of fear that you're carrying that have a similar frequency as the Lyme's. And if you work on clearing those fear frequencies in you, then the Lyme's won't have the same resonance in you.
Right. So
yeah, we are a host. Our emotions are a host for these opportunities. And
so how do you suggest working on those fears?
Well, there are, you know, a lot of, you know, deep inner work that everybody can do to look at what our fears are. A lot of times, you know, we all live in personal shadows that follow us around in life, that and each is a different kind of shadow that troubles. Everybody has shadows that trouble them.
Right.
And it's different for everybody. So,
You
know, so the idea is to understand what your shadows are that create fear and learn how to, you know, almost like learn how to love your shadows. Because they create the dynamic quality of life. And your shadows are also hiding your genius that gets repressed by the shadows. So it's really an opportunity to learn about yourself and come more into your power.
It's Charlotte, correct?
Charlene.
Charlene.
Charlene, I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's fine.
The other thing you can do is look at what are the things that really press your buttons today. What really triggers you? What elicits fear in your life? And then you have a clue that something like that is something that you experienced earlier in your life and you were unable to process through that emotion at the time. So it stays frozen in your nervous system or in your psyche or in your subconscious, wherever you want to, you know, depending upon how you look at it. But if you look at what really triggers you today, you can know that there is some sort of emotion that was elicited during an experience. You were unable to process that emotion at the time the event occurred, and therefore you push down that emotion, and it's still in you and is activated. So that'll give you the clue as to the type of either trauma or event that elicited the fear that you're still carrying. And your job is to not push that fear down, but to actually say, wow, that's interesting. I have this fear when X happens. So you look into where in the body that is and try to bring it up and out. And as Peter was saying, you love that part of yourself, not to have a judgment that, oh, my God, what's wrong with me? Why does this paralyze me in fear? But to say, oh, well, there's a reason, even if I don't remember what happened. Anyway, that's just a clue for how you can sort of find where those fears are and where they came from.
Right, and even with Lyme disease, it's different for everybody. It goes to different parts of the body, affects us in different ways. And those are the different ways that the body is using, in a sense, to hold these trapped emotions.
Okay.
So, you know, it's good to understand the body, the different places in the body that it manifests, so you can understand what's going on that's symbolic in that part of the body to your life. So, Charlene, thanks so much for calling.
Okay, thank you so much.
And now we have another caller, Greg, I think. Greg from Alberta?
Yeah, from Calgary. Hi.
Oh, wow, cool. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
Hello. Hi. I got a question. I'm having issues with my right hip. It's going on probably a couple of years now, just on and off, aches and pains, loss of range of motion. Just wondering if you guys can pick up anything.
Greg, I just didn't hear what you say. On and off of what emotion did you say?
Range of motion.
Oh, like range of motion
in my right hip.
Sure. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that. Thank you. Go ahead, Peter.
Well, first of all, you know, I'm looking at your hips, and I'm not seeing the problem particularly in your hips so much as I see an imbalance in your feet. Could be a limb length discrepancy or something going on between your left foot and your right foot that is causing the hip to have a problem. So
you said the right foot?
Well, it's a difference between, you know, there's a difference in your feet because I see the real weakness I see actually is in your left, on the left side.
The left ankle, foot. I think, actually is weak.
And the right ankle, oh, good, and the right, and that might cause the right ankle to be weak. And so, so that's why when I say left and right, you know, they're feeding off of each other, and then the hip tries to catch up and can't because your feet aren't working well together.
So when one is weak, the other is compensating, and that can only, the body can compensate for a period of time, but not for a lengthy period of time, not forever. So it looks to me as if maybe there is an old injury or something on your left ankle or left foot, and the right foot has then been compensating, or right ankle, and then it's getting weak from compensating, and that's also causing your right shoulder to push forward. And so there's a slight twist in the spine, and that the hip is trying to compensate for that, and it's not happy. The hip isn't happy, but that's just a symptom of other things.
Right.
Okay.
And so, and actually, as Lisa's saying that, I'm getting a picture of you kind of needing to twist around in life, you know, to try to, you know, manage things in a way that is confusing your body. So your body's kind of needing to twist around to understand things better. So so a lot has to do with what's going on in your life that the hip is, you know, confused about. And it, you know, it has to do with your feelings, with your emotions. So it's also something to look at and work on. But it feels to me like, you know, definitely you can get this fixed. You know, it's just that I would start at the feet.
Greg, do you do any kind of like Pilates or yoga or, you know, alignment stretching work?
No, not much of anything really lately. I have been going to like massage therapist, chiropractor.
Mm-hmm. I think you would benefit a lot because your body is, you're not in touch with whether you're in alignment as you're moving through your day and walking and things. Mm-hmm. And there's all sorts of techniques you can see and all sorts of Pilates and all sorts of yoga and things like that. But doing a stretching and some body awareness might really make a big difference in your, so that as you're walking, you might notice, oh my gosh, I am pushing forward with my right shoulder, or I am favoring my right leg, or you might start to notice those things and be able to start stretching out and realigning your body so that nature wants to go back in balance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, as Peter said, that there is, you know, you probably, it appears that there are some constraints or emotional constraints in the direction in your life, or confusion or fear or something. But for you, sometimes I think for you personally, that doing the body work first might really open up some other things for you, because you'll release some of that tension in your physical body, and that'll allow you to release some of the other tensions you've been pushing down.
Yeah, everything makes total sense.
Okay, good.
Thanks, Greg. And we're going to go on to another caller, so thank you.
All right, good luck, Greg.
Now we have Maria from Maryland. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hello. Whoops. she left. All right, I just got a note from the studio engineer that she was there, and now she's not.
Hmm.
So, all right. Maybe she'll call back. Anyway, Lisa, this is, it's good that we can talk about this. You know, people can see and understand what we're looking for and what how we're trying to help people. And yet it's ongoing. There's no simple answer. It's, you know, we're presenting people with the deeper place that work needs to be done, mm-hmm. and then the work still needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's, you know, that's one of the interesting things is you and I both use many different tools in our ability to intuit. And I think that's, you know, if people have any questions about that, it's many years worth of having lots of tools in our toolbox that we've acquired refined those skills, and also the feedback through the years and the understanding of if you and I are trying to mentally figure out, we would know that we're trying to, well, intellectually figure out what might be the cause of something. And you start to feel different when you're receiving information about somebody. You feel it. You sense it. It's not your mind searching for the intellectual answer or the, you know, encyclopedic or physiological answer. We're actually receiving the information in a different frequency and then interpreting it in a way that that can be helpful for other people to understand.
Well, that's important for people to realize about what we're doing in medical intuition is not having an opinion, letting our intuition show us the way. And it's hard for people to understand how intuition works when our mind isn't trying to figure things out. Our mind is just looking for answers, and we're just, our antennas are out. And in different ways, you're more clairvoyant than I am. I'm clairaudient and I'm clairsentient, and I know you have those strengths too. And so we go where, you know, and I also can see, you know, like I'll look and all of a sudden I'll be shown a part of the body that I didn't know I had to look at, and it'll be put right in front of my face and my inner eyes, and mm-hmm. and then I'll say, okay, well, let's look at this. But then we also are shown stories in people's lives,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and know how to talk to them because we understand the story.
Well, because so, you know, we are psycho-emotional, spiritual, physical beings manifest in this reality now, and so it's they all affect each other. They're all part of the story. So that's why we don't just get the information. It might come first as a physical thing, or it might come for, oh, this other trauma is the bigger reason. And so it kind of our having spent a lifetime of listening to the language of energy and then kind of being open to receive it.
Right. We're operating in a world that most people aren't familiar with. So that's why I'm glad we could do this show and help people get a sense of the deeper place and the universal consciousness that we tap into that has all the information that we all need. We just, you know, need to know how to look for it. And often mm-hmm. it has to do with questions that we have to ask the person about, so that then we can receive intuitive information about it.
That's a really big, important aspect, is that the answers you receive are really only as good as the questions you ask. If you don't ask the question, you may not receive the information.
Right.
So,
and you and I have a lot of our own questions.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
then it's good to have a conversation with people that we're looking for their questions too, that we can answer. So
yes,
a lot of people, I don't know about you, I have so many clients who will show up with lists, and sometimes they have so many questions on their list, there's barely enough time to answer them all.
Right.
So people do have their questions for us to answer.
So, for example, with Greg who called, if he said, what do you see, you and I might not have seen his hip at all because that wasn't the biggest thing. But that's
how
he's
feeling. Yeah, we might have seen his life story.
Right, but that's not, he's experiencing it as discomfort in his hip.
Right.
But at any rate, go ahead.
Good. So, having his question, then we knew where to ask our own questions in the universe to receive the answers that we could give him.
Mm-hmm.
So we only have a few minutes left. We do have, you're also part of the Heart River Center, and we have a class coming up, a program in medical intuition that's starting on June 8th, Thursday nights, four Thursday nights in a row. And people can go to heartriver.org, heartriver.org, and you'll see a button about medical intuition there. Or they can email me at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. And it's a 4-week class, and there are spaces open for people to join. It's on. Oh, by the way, it's online. You don't have to show up anywhere except on your computer or telephone. You can call in, or it's better to actually have a smartphone that you can see the class, see me teaching, see the other students on the screen. And if you have a computer, you can do the same. So, Lisa Denton, and you're in Brookfield, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
What if people want to reach you?
Well, they can always contact me through the Heart River Center, through any of those, you know, what Peter had just said, his email or the phone number or the website. Or you could contact me at lisawdenton@gmail.com.
Oh, cool. So, Lisa, it's wonderful talking with you. And
always a delight to talk with you, work with you. Just it's always a delight.
Yeah, and let's be excited for just this growing world of consciousness that we're all in now and that we're helping to bring forward. So thank you so much, Lisa, for being a guest today on Energy Stew.
My pleasure.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew. As I said, I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org. And I'd love to hear from you. And thanks so much for listening.